So today, this morning, I want to just talk to you, talk to any of you who have lost some of your spiritual passion in your life. I know that we've been talking over the past few weeks about a positivity, looking at the Word and how God speaks so much about growing in a positive place with Him and having that joy and that excitement for Him. And so this morning, though, I recognize that in this season that we are coming out of, that there has been a lot of negativity, a lot of frustration, a lot of complacency, a lot of just struggle. And so many of us may find ourselves in a place where we have lost our spiritual passion. You know, one time you might have found yourself really close to God. You were in the Word. It was just growing. It was exciting. It was thrilling to just be your eyes open to all the things of the Lord. Maybe it was, you know, times where you knew where God was working. You were filled with the Spirit, and there were so many exciting things happening. But then lately, you've lost that passion, lost that intimacy, and sadly, maybe some of you even have started to lose your faith a little bit. Well, this morning I want to kind of talk about that and just let you know that you're not alone in how you feel. Just real briefly, just tell you a little bit about my story, just a section of it. So I was coming out of high school, going into college, and at this time of my life, I'd been in youth groups. I'd been growing up with the Lord and all of that stuff in my home, went to church every weekend. But my senior year got a little bit just relaxed with my faith. I'd kind of lost my faith a little bit and just was kind of doing my own thing. And got to college, and I'm walking back from food, and I just simply had the thought, you know, I'm doing this life on my own now. I'm not walking in my parents' faith. I have to have my own faith. I get to have my own faith. And I started to really say, you know what, I'm gonna make this a priority in my life. And I started to grow in the Lord, and I started to read my Bible, and I started to do this thing. I got involved with this ministry called Young Life. And Young Life, I wanted to become a leader in Young Life. And so I was like, man, I'm just really hungry to tell high schoolers about Jesus, because it has been something that now I'm being transformed in my own life. I'm reading the Word. I'm doing this other Bible study, this college Bible study called Master Plan. And in that, there's a lot of people that are worshiping God, and I'm getting excited about Jesus. And so Jesus is becoming more and more of a priority in my life, and I'm getting involved with this Bible study of Young Life, because they couldn't necessarily, as a freshman, be involved with the high schoolers, because the high schoolers, some of them were the exact same age that I was at this point, you know, because I'm just a freshman, and they're seniors at Durango High. But I was like, man, I really want to tell people about Jesus. I can't wait until I'm able to do that. So I'm praying about it. I'm in this Bible study for new leaders in training for Young Life, and I'm just growing exponentially in my walk with the Lord. I'm so excited about it. Well, eventually, the area director, the Young Life leader, he comes up to me and he says, Mark, it's time. Let's get you into doing Young Life, doing the clubs, hanging out with the kids and all this stuff. And I'm like, woo, it is time. Let's go. And so I get in there. I'm doing games. I'm the crazy guy out there, which is weird to believe, I know, but I'm out there, I'm just having a great time sharing. I'm picking up high schoolers for pizza, I'm telling them about Jesus, I'm doing Bible studies, it was called Campaigners. I'm doing all of this stuff in Young Life, and I am so thrilled. Well, let's just take it down a few years here. And now all of a sudden, I'm in Young Life, been doing it for a number of years, and I am dreading going to Young Life. The very thing that I had prayed for, the very thing that I had hoped for, the very thing that I was looking forward to because of where I was with the Lord, I couldn't wait to tell people about Jesus over and over and over again. Now I am dreading having to go to a club out in Bayfield because I just don't want to throw one more fish for a softball, baseball fish thing, and I'm tired of sharing, and I'm tired of going through the motions. Does this sound familiar? Maybe it's not Young Life, but maybe it's just in your walk with the Lord. Maybe it comes to that place where you just go, ugh, I'm just tired. And you're tired of the very thing that you were passionate about just a few years before. You know, we were, before COVID in the church, we were really in a place where we were seeing 300 people coming to church every week, and we had roughly about 500 people that would consider us to be their home church. And so this we were talking about having to go to two services because we were just so full. And there was ministry that was happening here in the building, and there were so many things we had established. It was growing now, this midweek ministry that was happening with adults and around tables, and all of these things were happening. We had TRC University where we were teaching and discipling and going through Bible studies, and the ministries of our young people and our kids were just exploding, and all of these things were happening. And then COVID hit, and for whatever reason, what changed and transpired in that time has been crazy for us as a church to see. Where we've literally seen two-thirds of the congregation just disappear. Where our tithes and offerings have gone from this, steadily growing, to this, where they're bottoming out. And now we're going, what are we doing? Where are we going? What's happening? And we recognize that as a staff and in leadership, that we're like, okay, COVID has shifted things in people. COVID has shifted priorities. COVID has made some people just go, church, I don't really see a need. Others, the passion may have waned, but they're like, I know there's something. I've got to continue. I'm going to faith it till I make it. And others are going, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. But I want to talk to those of you today that have lost some of your spiritual passion. And I want to talk to you today about how to get your passion back. And I think all of us can learn and grow from this morning. I want to talk to you about the quality of enthusiasm today. And when I say enthusiasm, there's two types of people that I think, there's two types of people with enthusiasm. There are those who let their circumstances influence their enthusiasm, all right? And then there's those that use their enthusiasm to influence their circumstances. So in the midst of COVID, there are people that were reacting to it and going, oh man, this is such a sad state. And I'll tell you, I reacted. But there are others that their enthusiasm was so inner in their soul and in their heart that they're going, hey, that's okay. This is a time for me to just grow in my life with the Lord. This is a time for me to just bubble forth with all the goodness of who He is in my life. So there are those two types of people. And there's this word that I want us to look at today. It's called entheos. En meaning in, and theos is where we get our word theology. This is where we get the word enthusiasm from, en theos. But what it really means is this in God. It's filled with God. So when we have this en theos, we're talking about this filling with the Lord today, all right? True spiritual enthusiasm isn't something that you work up. It's not a product of your environment, and it is a posture of your heart and your time with God. It's born in the presence of God by the power of God. And I want to just look at this scripture today in 1 Corinthians that says this. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read this again because I want you all to feel or understand what I just read, all right? But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Always with enthusiasm do these things for the Lord. Work enthusiastically. When you are doing things, when you know that you are doing this stuff for the Lord, even when you're working on a construction site, or when you're putting in plumbing, or whatever you're doing, work with this enthusiasm for the Lord. It's not what you do that makes it meaningful. It's who you are doing it for. Truly, it is the intent of the heart. A few weeks back, I talked to you guys about me fixing my toilet. I just barely briefly mentioned that. It is not something that I really enjoy doing. Home improvement things are not really a thing that excites me. I will do them from time to time because Jill has said more than one time, hey, we need to fix this. Hey, we need to fix this. I'm like, I know. Anyway, this toilet thing was the same issue. Hey, we need to fix this. I'm like, I know. But there was something that I recognized that I it was time. So I went to one of the most intimidating places in the world, Home Depot. And I started to look around there, and you know, it says plumbing, so I'm in the plumbing section, and I'm having a hard time even finding the toilet flusher stuff. Well, you know, you have to go ask somebody, and so then I had to go ask somebody, and the only person that was there was this young girl that I was just like, excuse me, where would I find the toilet stuff? And she's like, oh, the flushers are down at the other end of the, and I'm like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. So I walk over and I pick up I find the flusher, and there's like seven different varieties of toilet flushers. And I'm like, it's a great thing that I took a picture. I was smart. And I took a picture of it, and so I got the right flusher. So I come back, and I start working on this toilet, and I unscrew it, and there was still water in the bottom of the tank, so there's water getting everywhere. And, you know, these are the things that I look forward to in fixing stuff. So I'm doing all of this stuff, and I fix the toilet. I put it together, and I come upstairs, and I'm like, your husband is awesome! It was the change, it was the intent of my heart. What I was doing is, even though I did not like, and I do not like to do home fixing, fixer-upper things, the intent of my heart was, I want to do this for my wife. She deserves a toilet that works. Amen. She's looking back there going, yes, I do. And there's some other things around the house I deserve to work, so... It's the intent of your heart, right? What is the intent of your heart? Is it a place where we are in a frustrating place, or is it a place where we are going to make things meaningful? When we work for the Lord, it can transform something that is mundane into meaningful. There was a guy when I was the youth pastor at the church, there was a young man that, we'll call him Aaron. And Aaron went with us to a missions trip to Copper Canyon in Mexico. We were helping an indigenous tribe of people down there in the Copper Canyon area, and we were working with this church. And one of the things that we had to do is we were going to just dig this trench so that when the rain came, it would run off and it wouldn't get into the foundation of the building. And so we're about ready to dig this trench. It's early in the morning. I'm eating coffee. It's already been a hard 4 or 5 days of travel and work and all this stuff. And so this was the next thing on our missions trip. And so we were going to go dig this trench. And the majority of the people in this room to kind of get things going were very, very tired and exhausted. And we had to wind our way. Some of us were car sick going down to the bottom of Copper Canyon. And so anyway, Aaron, he's like, hey, we're going to go dig a trench today. Now, Aaron was a guy that had not walked with the Lord. He found Jesus through the youth group, and so he had just become this excited young man. His optimism, his excitement, his enthusiasm had been transferred from the world stuff into God and everything about God. And so now all of a sudden, he's looking at this trench, and he's like, I get to dig a trench for Jesus, washing the water away from the building so that the building will stand. This is amazing. And so he's digging this trench while the rest of us are like with picks and shovels and all this stuff are going, oh my gosh. And I'm his leader. And I'm going, ugh. All right, guys, let's dig the dirt. Here we go. And I'm trying to be excited, but you could tell that I really wasn't excited. But here's Aaron, and he's like, Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Woo! Come on! You know, he's shoveling dirt the whole day. He was like this. I mean, he's pulling water. He's like, man, I'm thirsty. He's pouring water on his face. He's like, God is good. And he's just shoveling things. And he did that whole trench pretty much by himself because everybody else was like, go ahead, Aaron. Just do it, man. But there was something about his heart, right? That it took this most mundane thing of digging dirt in this trench and he made it something meaningful. And actually what happened was, no joke, I was kind of joking about where we were all standing, but what happened was is that his enthusiasm was contagious. And it made all of us want to go do something. It made us all dig in the dirt. And pretty soon we're all singing, Jesus is the rock and he rolls my blues away. We were all getting after it. You see, because enthusiasm is not a product of our environment as much as it is a posture of our hearts. You can have it, and you can lose it. I want to look really quick here at a character in the Bible, one of the most passionate and spiritually charged and enthusiastic people in the Bible, David, King David. And when we read about him as a kid, man, this guy was so enthusiastic about the Lord. He would do whatever it took to the point to where at one moment as a young man he is going to hang out with his brothers and his brothers are about to face the Philistines and here it is, there's this big giant in the way challenging the Israelite army and David was so enthusiastic. He looks at this guy, this Philistine, this giant named Goliath, and he goes, what's the deal? This guy's ripping on our God. Isn't anybody going to do anything about it? And his brothers are like, get out of here. What are you doing here? This is a man's work, you know? And David's like, nobody talks about my God that way. And so he does this. I want to read this. And so he goes before Goliath, and he stands there, and he says things in his passion, in his enthusiasm. In 1 Samuel 17:45, it starts out, and he says, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Get you fired up, right? Gets you enthusiastic. All of a sudden, you hear this and you just want to, you know, shout out and put a kilt on and blue paint on your face and yell, freedom, as you run and you charge, right? It's one of those moments that you're like, oh, it's something that is birthed within him. And David had this enthusiasm, this entheos was just pouring out of him. It wasn't a human confidence. It was a raw, unparalleled spiritual passion. And how did he get this passion? Where do you think David's enthusiasm came from? Where do you think an enthusiasm to dig in the dirt and sing Jesus is the rock? Where does that come from? Or challenging a giant? Three things. He trusted God daily. He walked with God daily. And he worshiped God daily. The common denominator? Daily. Daily. I think about the times that David was out there watching his sheep and a lion came and he took out the lion. Or a bear. He took out the bear. And so when he's facing a giant like Goliath, it's not like this is an outside situation that had happened. No, because he had been walking with God daily, he knew that this was just another moment for him that God was going to deliver him. He trusted God daily. He took care of it. This is the man who wrote so many of the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me to clear waters. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He worshiped daily. This is a time in the story where the account where he's celebrating the Ark of the Covenant coming back into Jerusalem, and he starts to dance and worship. This is the man after God's heart, where he was crying out before God and even embarrassed his wife because he was more immodest in his attire as he was worshiping the Lord. He trusted God daily, he walked with God daily, and he worshiped with God daily. He was filled with God. So how does it happen then that this one who is so passionate against the Philistine army, against Goliath, can rise to the point of being king and continues to pursue God, writing these amazing psalms and allowing God to move in his life so much? How does it come to a point to where he is doing that, and then he gets complacent, stands on a roof, sees a woman bathing, and begins this downward spiral of hurting so many individuals? Where does it go? How does he do that? It all started when David stopped running to God. With enthusiasm as a kid, David ran into battle to serve his God. But with apathy, David walked on the roof to serve his comfort. Simply put, David took his eyes off his calling and put it on his comfort. Many of us in this season have found ourselves in the same situation where we have forgotten the calling that God has put on our hearts and have allowed ourselves to slide into that place of comfort. Which best represents you today? That comfortable place, that complacent place, or are you charging into battle? You know, I think about this just on the basis of human nature. What I know about people is that we don't necessarily drift towards discipline. We don't drift towards health. We don't drift towards good decisions. Truthfully, we drift toward complacency. We drift towards apathy. We drift towards self-centered attitudes. It's easy to find ourselves in this place of drift. Now, the wonderful thing about David is that when confronted with this stuff, what did David do? Did he deny it? Did he disregard it? Did he say, get on out of here, like so many of other kings did after him? No. He wrote these amazing words after Nathan confronted him about what he had done with Bathsheba. And in verse 10 of Psalm 51, he says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Essentially, in these times where we find ourselves in a spiritual drift away, and you may be in that place right now, I want to encourage you to go back to what you did at first. In Revelations 2, 4, and 5, where Jesus is talking to the church in Ephesus, he says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and go to the things you did at first. Oftentimes, when we come to this place of spiritual drift and we find ourselves in this place of complacency and this place where we've just gotten apathetic towards our walk with the Lord and we just go, meh. What we need to do is come back to that place where we were on fire and remind ourselves of what God had done. You know, back in the Old Testament, guys like Abraham and Moses, they would build these altars when God showed up so that when they were in their nomadic times of life, they would travel around, they would find these places where God had done something and they would remember it and they would be able to tell the story to their children. And their children would tell the stories. So even generationally, they would continue to be fired up about God. But people forgot to tell the stories. Maybe you've forgotten where God showed up in your own life. And so now it's time to look back. It's time to reflect. It's time to remember those times where the Lord penetrated your heart and set you on fire and made you a little bit more crazy for Him. To be willing to sometimes be the fool in digging dirt in ditches. To sharing Jesus with your friends. To have a boldness where things didn't faze you as much. The doubt and the fear and the apathy weren't an issue. The place that you wanted to be was in the middle of where God was. Sadly, when we say things like, you know, I kind of lost my faith, I let things go. The truth is that we made a conscious choice to leave it behind. It happens because of fear, and that fear turns into apathy, that apathy turns into complacency. We find ourselves frustrated. I can't tell you how many people spoke a lot of their frustrations in this last year. And it's been tough. All of it, totally understandable. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, that type of a thing. Here's the thing. All of us need to find our way back to the Lord. Not out of duty, but out of delight. May we be a people that don't let our circumstances influence our enthusiasm, but may we allow our enthusiasm to influence our circumstances. I don't invite the worship team to come back up here. I want you to think about how enthusiasm could change the climate around you. You've probably heard this analogy before, or this metaphor actually, the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. The thermostat controls the temperature in your home, and the thermometer reads the temperature. May we be a church of thermostats. May we change the climate in our community. May the enthusiasm, the entheos, the God-filling place that we find ourselves, may it pour out from us into this community to where people discover and know that there is a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords who loves them so much that He is excited about relationship with them so greatly, and He desires to have this reconciled relationship so much that He died on a cross for them, that He took on their sin. And may it be that we begin to reflect in our own ways of where we may have become disillusioned, apathetic, complacent, and may we go back to the beginning and go back to that place where either we gave our lives to the Lord and we remember those moments, or when we got baptized in the Spirit and we felt and encountered a new aspect of who God is. Or we had that moment where we were worshiping and it just transcended the place where we were at. And we went, God is so much bigger than I could possibly imagine. Maybe it was that moment that you had climbed that mountain and you, for the first time, really experienced the Lord on that mountain peak. And you, I desire to be with the Lord again. And may you, when you hear, but thank God, He gives victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you hear those words, may it bubble up in you a thrill, an excitement, a joy because of what He's done for all of us. May it be that whatever you do, may you transform the mundane into something meaningful because you trust God daily, you walk with God daily, and you worship God daily. Amen?